Greetings, and welcome to Audio Stoa 4. This week continues our series of readings taken from Epictetus' Discourses. This week's reading is Chapter 4, Book 1 of the Discourses, entitled Of Progress and Improvement. The main theme is the difference dear to the Stoics in general, but particularly to Epictetus, between the theoretical knowledge, in particular of ethics, and one's ability to practically apply it, which is, for the Stoic, the true measure of one's possession of that knowledge. It is to be put into relation with a passage from the Manual, or Enchiridion, which is a condensed treatise of the main Stoic doctrines, well, of Epictetus' Stoic doctrines. And I will therefore read to you chapter 49 of the Manual as an introduction of sorts to the Discourses passage. And it goes like this. Whenever someone is proud because he can understand and interpret the books of Chrysippus, tell yourself, if Chrysippus had not written so obscurely, this man would have nothing about which to be proud. But as for me, what do I want? To examine closely nature and to follow her. What I seek, therefore, is someone to interpret her. And having heard that Chrysippus is such a person, I go to him. But I do not understand his writings. Therefore, I seek an interpreter. And as for these actions, even so far, there is nothing to be proud about. But when I find the interpreter, it is necessary to leave behind the prescriptions and apply them. This is the only thing to be proud about. But if I should be amazed at the interpretation itself, what has happened but that I have turned into a grammarian rather than a philosopher? Except, indeed, that I interpret Chrysippus rather than Homer. Therefore, I should rather blush whenever someone tells me, "Read me Chrysippus," since I have not made my way into actions such as could be shown to harmonize with his words. Epictetus' Discourses, Book 1, Chapter 4, Of Progress or Improvement. He who is making progress, having learned from philosophers that desire means the desire of good things, and aversion means aversion from bad things, having learned too that happiness and tranquility are not attainable by man otherwise than by not failing to obtain what he desires, and not falling into that which he would avoid, such a man takes from himself desire altogether, and defers it. But he employs his aversion only on things which are dependent on his will. For if he attempts to avoid anything independent of his will, he knows that sometimes he will fall in with something which he wishes to avoid, and he will be unhappy. Now, if virtue promises good fortune and tranquility and happiness, certainly also the progress toward virtue is progress toward each of these things. For it is always true that to whatever point the perfecting of anything leads us, progress is an approach toward this point. How then do we admit that virtue is such as I have said, and yet seek progress in other things and make a display of it? What is the product of virtue? Tranquility. Who then makes improvement? It is he who has read many books of Chrysippus. But does virtue consist in having understood Chrysippus? If this is so, progress is clearly nothing else than knowing a great deal of Chrysippus. But now we admit that virtue produces one thing, and we declare that approaching near to it is another thing, namely progress or improvement. Such a person, says one, is already able to read Chrysippus by himself. Indeed, sir, you are making great progress. What kind of progress? But why do you mock the man? Why do you draw him away from the perception of his own misfortunes? Will you not show him the effect of virtue, that he may learn where to look for improvement? Seek it there, wretch, where your work lies. And where is your work? In desire and in aversion, that you may not be disappointed in your desire, and that you may not fall into that which you would avoid. In your pursuit and avoiding, that you commit no error. In assent and suspension of assent, that you be not deceived. The first things, and the most necessary, are those which I have named. But if, with trembling and lamentation, you seek not to fall into that which you avoid, tell me how you are improving. Do you then show me your improvement in these things? If I were talking to an athlete, I should say, show me your shoulders. And then he might say, here are my halteres. You and your halteres look to that. I should reply, I wish to see the effect of the halteres. So, when you say, take the treatise on the active powers and see how I have studied it, I reply, slave, I am not inquiring about this, but how you exercise pursuit and avoidance, desire and aversion, how your design and purpose and prepare yourself, whether conformably to nature or not. If conformably, give me evidence of it, and I will say that you are making progress. But if not conformably, be gone, and not only expound your books, but write such books yourself. And what will you gain by it? Do you not know that the whole book costs only 5 denarii? Does then the expounder seem to be worth more than 5 denarii? Never, then, look for the matter itself in one place and progress toward it in another. Where then is progress? If any of you, withdrawing himself from externals, turns to his own will to exercise it and to improve it by labor, so as to make it conformable to nature, elevated, free, unrestrained, unimpeded, faithful, modest. And if he has learned that he who desires or avoids the things which are not in his power can neither be faithful nor free, but of necessity he must change with them and be tossed about with them as in a tempest, and of necessity must subject himself to others who have the power to procure or prevent what he desires or would avoid. Finally, when he rises in the morning, if he observes and keeps these rules, bathes as a man of fidelity, eats as a modest man, in like manner, if in every matter that occurs he works out his chief principles, as the runner does with reference to running, and the trainer of the voice with reference to the voice, this is the man who truly makes progress, and this is the man who has not traveled in vain. But if he has trained his efforts to the practice of reading books and labors only at this, and has traveled for this, I tell him to return home immediately, and not to neglect his affairs there. For this for which he has traveled is nothing. But the other thing is something, to study how a man can rid his life of lamentation and groaning, and saying, woe to me, and wretched that I am, and to rid it also of misfortune and disappointment, and to learn what death is, and exile, and prison, and poison, that he may be able to say when he is in fetters, dear Crito, if it is the will of the gods that it be so, let it be so. And not to say, wretched am I, an old man, have I kept my gray hairs for this? Who is it that speaks thus? Do you think that I shall name some man of no repute and of low condition? Does not Priam say this? Does not Oedipus say this? Nay, all kings say it. For what else is tragedy than the perturbations of man who value externals exhibited in this kind of poetry? But if a man must learn by fiction that no external things which are independent of the will concern us, for this part I should like this fiction, by the aid of which I should live happily and undisturbed. But you must consider for yourselves what you wish. What then does Chrysippus teach us? The reply is, to know that these things are not false, from which happiness comes and tranquility arises. Take my books, and you will learn how true and conformable to nature are the things which make me free from perturbations. O great good fortune! O the great benefactor who points out the way! To Triptolemus, all men have erected temples and altars because he gave us food by cultivation. But to him who discovered truth and brought it to light and communicated it to all, not the truth which shows us how to live, but how to live well, who of you for this reason has built an altar, or a temple, or has dedicated a statue, or who worships God for this? Because the gods have given the vine, or wheat, we sacrifice to them. But because they have produced in the human mind that fruit by which they designed to show us the truth which relates to happiness, shall we not thank God for this? This was Audio Stoa 4. I am Julien Villeneuve, speaking from Montreal, Quebec. The translations used for this week's program were mine, for the passage of the Enchiridion with which the program opened as an introduction, and the public domain translation of George Long for the passage from the Discourses. Next week's program will feature the very short treatise, which constitutes Chapter 5, Book 1 of the Discourses, entitled Against the Academics. You may reach us online on the web at audiostoa.blogsite.org, and I would like to use this opportunity to point out that my complete translation of Epictetus' manual is available in PDF format from that website. You may also reach us directly by email at audiostoa@gmail.com.